Hey everyone, it's Anna, the creator and voice of Glass Letters. I'm sure most of you have heard this already, but Glass Letters is a finalist for the Audioverse Awards in the category Writing of a New Storytelling Production. This is the first show that I've ever made, and to have it be a finalist for an Audioverse Award is just like mind-blowing, and I'm just really thankful for everybody who helped get the show here. And the audience that listens to it, and everybody that's said such lovely things about Glass Letters so far. And while it's really just an honor to even be in the finalists for this award, you can still go vote for the show. If you go to audioverseawards.net, there should be a tab that says vote for finalists here, or vote now, or something. If all of you that love this show and listen to it every episode would go vote for it in this category, it would mean a lot to me. And even if I don't win, like I said, you know, it's been an honor to get this far. So once again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for even nominating the show in the first place. And here's another episode for you. You're listening to Glass Letters. Episode 6, Letters Home. Summer is creeping towards fall, and the days are getting shorter again. I've been thinking about what I said before, about the universe sending me a message. Maybe it's something as big as that, but I find it hard to believe that I am important enough for the entire universe to notice me. The letters haven't stopped or even slowed, so at least this message is ongoing. I still find myself wishing for a clearer answer than seemingly random letters in bottles, but we use what we can get, I guess. I've been trying to piece together a narrative, maybe, but I feel like I'm just creating useless tangles of red string. Humans are good at that, you know, pattern recognition, or sometimes even when there isn't a pattern. It's why we see faces in wood grain or the Virgin Mary in a piece of toast. Maybe I'm seeing something that isn't there. Am I overreacting if I'm starting to think that coming to this island was a mistake? After a storm, it's good to have some quiet, but maybe I went too far. There is such a thing as too much alone time, especially when you start to talk to yourself. Well, universe, another letter, another piece of the puzzle. Dearest Sarah, I hope this letter finds you well, and little Johnny boy too. We have not seen battle for many days, and the only thing that has changed since my last letter is the fact that no ships have been to our isolated station. The supply ship did not come 2 days past, and the mail ferry was nowhere to be seen yesterday. Some of the men see no problem with this, and they spout nonsense about delays being typical of wartime, but I find myself increasingly worried. I feel that something is wrong. With the war, of course, there is hardly much that isn't wrong when it comes to war, but closer than that, there is an air of uncertainty around, and with no news from the rest of the world, one is left to conjure up the worst sort of nightmares. I do not mean to scare you. I am sure that you and Johnny are quite safe. It is only the result of an overactive mind left to sit idly that convinces me the world has ended around us. I will keep this letter until the mail fairy arrives, and I will send it along with some money and any other letters I shall write in the meantime. Yours always, James. Dearest Sarah, it has been another fortnight and still no arrival of the supplies or the mail fairy. A creeping mist seems to have settled over all the men's hearts, and those that were so cavalier when I last wrote to you are now solemnly rationing food and water with the rest of us. A boat was sent away to the mainland today, and hopefully news and relief will follow upon their return. In comparison to the entire ocean, the distance between our camp and the mainland is not that far. But as that small boat pulled away into the fog, I had the strangest feeling that I would never see those men again, and that they were somehow falling off the edge of the earth. The feeling shook me, and I retreated to my tent to write this letter to you. Now more than ever, I wish for your company, Sarah, as the world around us feels increasingly distant and unreal. We have not even heard the sounds of cannon fire or shouting in the distance. The silence is complete save for our own whispered mutterings. Since there is no one to fight and nowhere to go, all we can do is wait out the misty silence. Yours always, James. Dearest Sarah, still no sign of supplies or mail, and now the party that was sent to search for the mainland have returned, saying that they could not find it. They were out on the water for 3 days, and in that time the fog never lifted and the land never came into view. They seemed relieved that they had even found their way back, and all of them were quite shaken. I have felt myself grow more and more detached as the days have progressed. I feel that it is not natural to be so cut off from the people of the world. I would gladly even see an enemy soldier's face, though it would most likely result in my end. I think of you always, my Sarah. Your face seems to swim in the early morning drizzle as I look out across the still water. I fear that I will not remain long in this misty place. I must either find a way home or pass into somewhere beyond, though I know not where that might be. Yours always, James. Dearest Sarah, every other man in the camp has become only half there. They stare mutely across the open water as if someone will come save them from the edge of the world. I cannot wait any longer. I am taking the small boat and attempting the journey to the mainland myself. I will be dropping these letters into the water before I leave, for they may still reach you, even if I do not. No one has made a move to come with me, so I suppose I shall be making my way on my own. It feels no different than the past few weeks have been. Every man has retreated so far inside his own head that we have all felt quite alone in each other's presence. I do not remember exactly when we all ran out of rations, but I cannot survive on this hazy tether of nothingness for any longer. I am making my way home, and my only hope is that there will be a home waiting for me to return to. Yours now and forever, James. A home to return to. I suppose home is something you create, but where do you go when your first home isn't there anymore? You run off to an island, I suppose. You and me both, James. Being cut off from your home, from the rest of the world, it's no wonder all those men were only half alive. But what do you do if your home technically is still there? When that house is still standing, the windows still lit up, but the people inside have placed a do not enter sign with your name on it? What do you do if the last words you heard echo around those walls were shouts, and the last time you were inside it was packing a suitcase? What do I do? All these letters, all these wishes and stories and possibilities, but I still don't know if I can listen to them and go back. If isolation isn't the solution, then is reconciliation possible? And who am I to listen to soggy pieces of paper anyway? No. I don't think I'm ready for that type of brotherly conversation. Not now. Not yet. Glass Letters is a podcast written, recorded, and produced by me, Anna Godfrey. Our intro and outro music are by Slow Haste, who you can find on music streaming services and on Instagram at Slow Haste. If you like this podcast and want to support what we're doing, consider rating and reviewing the show on iTunes or on Podchaser. It honestly helps a lot. Find us on Twitter and Instagram, both at Glass Letters Pod. Thanks for listening.
This show is brought to you by Common Unity Media. Fun people, fun podcasts, fan-funded. Find more great shows at our website, commonunity.media. Thank you so much for listening.